For the past several weeks, we've been looking at the book of Ephesians. We're still in chapter 2, and this is sermon number 13 that we're doing on Wednesdays and Sundays. We're doing a study of the prison epistles of the Apostle Paul. Of course, the book of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon will be the four books that we will be studying for many, many weeks in the days to come. But in tonight's study, we see that God is our peace. Jesus is our peace. Can you only imagine tonight with all of the differences that are in the world, the differences that are here in America? We see all kinds of political differences. We see all kinds of social differences in our world, family differences in our world, and many of these situations have translated into divisions out there at large in culture and society. But sadly, there are also differences in churches. There are differences out there in styles of worship. There are differences in doctrinal beliefs. There are differences in styles and types and genre of music. There are differences in dress codes. There are countless differences, oftentimes, that create division in churches. When you come to chapter 2, as we continue our study this evening in Ephesians, Paul is dealing with the church, the body of Christ, that we are all in the body of Christ if we have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, the body of Christ is made up of both redeemed Jews. Notice I said redeemed, or messianic Jews, those that have received Jesus Christ as the Messiah. So the body of Christ is made up of all the redeemed, whether Jew or Gentile. Now, these two groups, the Jews and the Gentiles, they were avowed enemies of each other. In fact, it was through the shedding of Christ's blood that has reached out to the lost in sin. And he's brought all of us near to God. In tonight's passage here, Paul teaches that in Jesus Christ, there is no more Jew or Gentile. There is only Christ and those who are in him. In fact, Annabelle was sharing with me. Annabelle, would you just wave at the crowd so they'll know who you are? Annabelle was sharing with me a while ago. She said, while you were up there baptizing this morning, Jesus spoke to my heart. And I asked him to come into my heart. I want to be in his heart. And you see, that's exactly what happened here when Jesus Christ made it possible for the Jew as well as the Gentile to be brought near to him through the shed blood of Christ. Now, many years ago, one of the early church fathers by the name of Clement of Alexander said, we who worship God in a new way as the third race, he's speaking beyond Jews and Gentiles, he said, we who worship God in a new way as the third race are Christians. Now, what Paul is wanting you and me to understand is that in Jesus Christ, those that formerly were at odds with each other, that were enemies, avowed enemies of each other, could be at peace with each other through Jesus Christ and through his shed blood. So first of all, in verse 14 and 15 of the book of Ephesians chapter 2, we read these words and we see what Jesus destroyed through the shedding of his blood. For he himself, speaking of Jesus, is our peace, who has made both one, he's speaking of Jews, Gentiles here, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh, Jesus's flesh, notice the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. So Jesus is ground zero for the peace for both the Jew and the Gentile. Now, the Jews could never earn peace with God through their ritualism, through their sacrifices, or through their attempts at keeping the law. Regardless of what they did, they would still be sinners in the sight of God. By the same token, we as Gentiles, we had no way to approach God. So they had no hope of securing peace with him through any other means. And what the law couldn't do, what the sacrifices could never accomplish, what the works of the flesh could not make a reality, Jesus did it through redemption and the shedding of blood when he died on the cross. Now notice, if you will, that verse there that we read in verse 14, the phrase has broken down the middle wall of separation. That phrase means that Jesus brought some things to an abrupt end. Notice what he destroyed when he went to the cross and died. He destroyed a social wall. The middle wall, a partition, that refers to the wall that stood between the court of the Gentiles and the court of the Jews in the ancient temple in Jerusalem. This wall was about 4 feet tall, but it had several openings. Now, archaeologists have recovered a sign that once hung on that wall. In fact, history teaches us that the same sign hung beside every entrance into the Jewish area of the temple. Those signs were written not only in Hebrew, but they were written in Latin, and they were written in Greek as well. The sign would say this, in whether it was written in Greek, whether it was written in Hebrew, whether it was written in Latin. This is what the sign would say: no foreigner may enter within the barricade which surrounds the sanctuary and enclosure. Anyone who is caught doing so will have himself to blame for his ensuing death. Now you can see why the Jews and the Gentiles were always at odds. They were always at enmity against each other. That sign was symbolic of this division that existed between the Jews and the Gentiles. They were on opposite sides of this great social wall, and there was no common ground between the two groups. When Jesus died, what did he do? He dismantled that wall. He brought the Jew and the Gentile together in one in himself. And this is still a problem today over there in the Holy Land. If you would go to the Western Wall where the Jews go to pray. Now, they tolerate Gentiles coming to it, but they certainly don't encourage it. But for believers in Christ Jesus, we know that Christ has destroyed the social wall. But he also destroyed not only a social wall when he died on the cross, but he also destroyed a spiritual wall. Notice in verse 15, it tells us there, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Now that word enmity means hostility. The source of this enmity that resulted between the Jew and the Gentile, it rested in the law of the commandments that were contained in the ordinances that they were given over there in the Old Testament and the Old Mosaic Law. The Jews hated the Gentiles because they dishonored and disregarded the law of God. The Jews were strict on the law. In fact, there were some 613 of those. How on earth could anyone ever keep those? You see, the Jews despised these Gentiles because they dishonored. They disregarded the law of God. But the Gentiles, on the other hand, they despised and hated the Jew because they sought to keep the law. And so the Jews, with their strict dietary laws, their laws of the way they dressed, their laws of governing every aspect of this social and religious life. They hated the Gentiles because the Gentiles were not of them. They lived outside the law, and the Gentiles did as they pleased. And so the law stood as this great wall of division between the Jews and the Gentiles. But the greatest hostility existed between God and man. You see, all men, regardless of whether they are Jews or Gentiles, all were sinners and stood guilty before a holy God. All of us were guilty of violating his law. And so we were destined to face the wrath of God. But here's what the Jews never considered and what the Gentiles never knew. Look in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. The Jews never considered this, and the Gentiles never knew. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, when Jesus came, Jesus died on the cross. What did he do? He tore down this social wall between the Jews and the Gentiles. He also tore down the spiritual wall between the lost sinner and a holy God. When Jesus died on the cross, he tore down that wall between us that were once lost and a holy God. Jesus Christ, he took both the Jews and the Gentiles, and he made in himself, he made one new man. Now the Lord took these two groups. They were opposite each other. They were opposed to each other. And what did Jesus do? Through the cross, he created a brand new person. He takes the sinner and he turns them in and brings them near to the body of Christ. In Christ Jesus, our differences disappear. We were made right with God through his mercy and his grace. Apart from the deeds of the law, we're made right with each other. In Jesus, everything that stands between people is destroyed. In Jesus, everything that stands between sinners and God is destroyed. Paul is saying that Jesus Christ, he abolished in his flesh this hostility, this enmity. That word abolished means to render it inoperative, to deprive or to force or power. In other words, by fully keeping the law of God, Jesus fulfilled the law of God. In other words, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, according to what Paul wrote to the Roman church in Romans chapter 10 and verse 4. Through his death, Jesus has rendered the law inoperative. It holds no claim over us any longer. You and I are not under the law. We're under grace. We're free from the power of the law. In the book of Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 to 27, Paul was writing to the Christians at Galatia. He says, but before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor or teacher to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. Notice verse 24 once again. He says there, therefore the law was our teacher to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. Verse 25, but after faith has come, we're no longer under a tutor or a teacher there. For you are all sons of God. How? Through faith in whom? Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's why Paul would say in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, Paul would write to the Roman church and he'd say, there is therefore now. Once you've received Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And then Paul went on and said in Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. That's why I love that song, Ode to Grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. I'm reminded of an illustration I read about back in 1961, when the East German and the West Germans, the East Germans, of course, built a wall that divided East and West Germany. And the East Germans controlled that wall. And in fact, people who tried to scale the wall or tried to enter into the other side, families oftentimes were shot and killed. People that would try to go from one to the other would be killed. But on November the 9th, 1989, the East Germans government allowed the East Germans to go through that wall and to visit their family and their friends on the West Bank. In 1990, it led to East and West Germany being able to be reunified so that there was no wall of partition that divided those two groups. When I think about the Apostle Paul, when he preaches here to the Ephesians about the body of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, there was a wall that divided them. And they hated each other, just as the Berlin Wall divided the East and West Germans from each other because of their dislike for each other. But when Jesus died that day on the cross, let me tell you, the wall of partition was torn down, and the Jew and the Gentile redeemed were made one in Christ Jesus. So what did Jesus destroy? Paul said he destroyed this wall of social partition, the spiritual wall of the old law to the law of grace, as well as he destroyed also this social wall that existed between them. Secondly, verse 16, what Jesus did. It says in verse 16, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body, speaking of the church, through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity or the hostility there. That's what Jesus did. He accomplished our reconciliation. The word reconcile means to bring to a state of harmony. And so he accomplished our reconciliation to bring sinful man to a holy God, but he also accomplished our redemption. When Jesus died on the cross, he delivered all of those who believe in him from the power of the old law and from the penalty of sin, and he paid sin's debt. And so Jesus destroyed this wall of partition that separated those that would be redeemed Jews and those that would be redeemed Gentiles. And Jesus did this when he reconciled sinful man to holy God. There's a third thing that he tells us in verses 17 and 18. What Jesus delivered. Verse 17 says, and he came and preached peace to you. Peace. No wonder Jesus would say, my peace I give you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In a time of worldwide pandemic and worldwide scare and worldwide scarcity of food and of vaccines and all of these things that are out there in the world that brings fear upon people's life, let me tell you, Jesus stands in the midst of all of the turmoil of life. And Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let me tell you tonight, I believe all over the world, if people followed what Scripture has to say, God's New Testament laws, if the world united around this era of grace, let me tell you, we would see a whole different world than you and I live in tonight. Let me tell you, we wouldn't be seeing all of the turmoil, the wickedness, the evil that is out there lurking and lurching around in the world that we are in. We would feel the peace of God that passes all human understanding, even in the midst of the turmoil and the struggles of life. I read an illustration the other day about a young boy. He would go and he would stand out in front of the gates of Buckingham Palace there in London, England. And he would go there because he so desired to see the King of England. I mean, that was his great desire. He didn't want anything from the king. He didn't want anything from Edward, Prince of Wales. All he wanted to do, he just had this incredible passion in his heart that he wanted to see the king. And so he would go stand in front of Buckingham Palace there in front of the gates. And the policemen, of course, as they guarded the gates, they would tell him, son, it's impossible. You will never be able to see the king. So you might as well just run along and go on your merry way because you will never be able to see the king. But day after day, the young boy would come. He would stand in front of the gate, and all of a sudden, one day when the policeman told him he needed to leave, all of a sudden, the policeman stood at attention. The gates of Buckingham Palace swung open, and out past the policeman walked a young man, and he reached over to the young boy. And he took him through the gates into Buckingham Palace there. He took him, he showed him all the sights and the wonders of that incredible, incredible palace. And then they walked up to a specific room, and the man holding the little boy's hand opened the door. And when he opened the door, the man who had brought the little boy up said to him, Father, meet my friend William. William, meet the king. You see, the only way he had access to the Father was through the Son. And let me tell you, that's what Paul is saying there in the book of Ephesians. The only way that we have access to God the Father is through the Son, Jesus Christ. We could never get to God on our own. Left to ourselves, we would continue to wander around in blindness and deadness and the lostness of our sin. But he came to us. Sharon, I hope you'll sing that one of these days soon. He came to us when I could not come to him. He came to us. Let me tell you, he brought us, the redeemed Jew and the Gentile, together in himself through the cross. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 says, Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I don't know about you, but I love the book of Ephesians. It's a rich book that speaks of so many doctrinal things in chapter 1. And then in chapter 2, he moves in to talk about with the Ephesians the importance of the body of Christ and how that we're all brought together through the death of Jesus Christ, through his shed blood and through his resurrection, that there's no longer Jew nor Greek, male nor female, or barbarian, we are one in Christ Jesus. We oftentimes sing that song, we are one in the bond of love. Let me tell you what the world needs tonight. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, but it's the unconditional agape love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, until the Prince of Peace comes one of these days, there will not be peace on this earth. We sing that song, let there be peace on earth and let it begin in me. Let me tell you, this world needs peace, but it needs the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding. And when Jesus went to the cross, he broke down the spiritual wall of partition, and he broke down the social wall of partition, and through his blood, he brought together the redeemed of the ages, whether Jew or Gentile. Father God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the privilege of being in your house. Thank you, God, for the wonderful words that breathe spiritual life into our lives as we study together the wonderful gift of grace, and all because of what you did at Calvary that made that possible. God, we thank you, we love you, we praise you, we adore you. Help us to grow in our spiritual lives through the wonderful words of life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.